Kick things off.
Okay, the recording has begun.
All right, welcome everybody to the Hyperledger Technical Steering Committee. Everybody is welcome to attend and participate in this meeting so long as you abide by the required antitrust policy that you see in front of you and abide by our community code of conduct, which is basically to make sure that you're respectful of all of the other participants. We have a good number of updates later in the agenda today, so we're going to try to allocate enough time to get through all of those. I hope that everybody's had the chance to go through and do their pre-reads of them so that we can primarily just ask for questions and clarifications during that period. So flowing into the announcements here, I don't think there's anything new to announce with the CICD other than there's the link of how to get involved there if you are somebody with an interest in how we evolve those capabilities. Rye, you want to give us the announcement on the Fabric workshop there?
Sure. So July 8, 9, 10, 11 at the LF offices in San Francisco, we're going to be holding a four-day meeting to develop the curricula for the Hyperledger Certified Fabric Developer Program. This is very similar to the Fabric Administrator and Sawtooth Administrator certification and training that we developed. This is in person, and we don't provide for travel, or we don't provide hotel, but we do feed you when you're there. And we are looking for subject matter experts to get on board and help us develop the curriculum. And Dan participated in one of those efforts for Sawtooth, so he has some expertise. If you want to get involved, get in touch. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Ray.
Hey, Dan. I was muted. I was like, hey, no, I have something to say about CICD.
Oh, sorry. Go
real
ahead.
Quick. We reevaluated our choice. I reevaluated my choice to keep the CICD section on the wiki private. There was some confidential information in there that I have, like corporate expenditures and stuff like that on this. I have kept that private, but the whole section is now public. You can search for CICD in the search bar. I'll be dropping links into the wiki so you can see the meeting minutes and kind of see where the discussion is at right now. We're trying to solve Docker and Docker. That's the big problem. So if you've got any interest in that, we have a call tomorrow morning, and we'd love to see you there.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Is Karen on?
I saw her join.
Yeah. All right. I see Karen listed in the attendees there. If you want to give us a quick shout out for the Sao Paulo boot camp. Looks like Karen is looking for volunteers there. And I think what we're doing with the boot camps is we're trying to ramp new contributors into the projects or to develop on top of the projects.
Right. We're looking for people who can show up and help us get new contributors on board. And I know that Nathan has been to two of the boot camps, and perhaps he could speak to that experience. But Karen, you're still muted, so if you have anything to say.
Okay, I encourage people to just go ahead and follow that link then, and that will take you to some of the information about that event. I guess particularly if you are a Portuguese speaker, that would be a welcome addition to that volunteer staff.
Yeah, that was one correct. Of the big things about the Hong Kong one. Oh, sorry, Karen, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's actually Daniela. Somehow Karen's muted, can't unmute. That is correct. We are also looking for English speakers, who want to run sessions. And we do have, volunteers on site that can help with translation and kind of doing that. So, a key thing here is obviously just like we did in Hong Kong is do translation of materials. So we have a very enthused and very active, active population in Brazil that want to get involved. So if you even want to consider it, please reach out to us, talk to us about it, and we'll see how we can make it happen. And even if we want to assist in having some people on the ground lead the sessions and you want to mentor them, that is fantastic as well. Just let us know. This is how we scale. Okay.
Bravo. All right, let's go ahead and move along then. We have just a few items to go through with some discussion. For a while now, we've had some backlog items that relate to the project lifecycle. David put together a few versions of some thoughts when this had come up earlier. We recently had another thread on projects and sub-projects. And there's been some dialogue also about how we deal with projects that are maybe at the end of their life cycle, which isn't something that we've dealt with in the longevity of Hyperledger yet. And it seems like maybe the most efficient way to draw this together is if we could put together a small committee led by some TSC member or members that can come back to the TSC with a recommendation on any updates that we need to that life cycle. I think the original and subsequent versions of the life cycle, I recall being heavily influenced by Arnaud's experience, and I wonder if Arnaud, if you'd be willing to take point on this activity.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do that.
Thanks, Arno. Mick, it looks like you are on now or maybe working your way on.
I'm on.
Excellent. So you had also expressed some views in this area.
I think Salona and I were talking also about the group subgroup issues as well last week. So
okay, great.
So happy to express my opinion in there. But I will defer to Arno's experience. So
great.
So Dan?
Yes, Mark.
If I can interject here for a minute. So the group subgroup thing is something we probably need to talk about in the future as well. But is that something this group should go off and look at, since it's related to life cycle, or is that a separate thing completely?
Mick, was that an allusion to working groups or to projects?
To projects. I mean, we've had that groups or project sub-project kind of discussion multiple times, and I think at some point we're going to have to roll it into one of these bigger discussions.
Yeah, I don't know that I would want to get too distracted by that, if I may say, put it that way. I mean, I think there is general questions that have been brought up with regard to the life cycle, just in terms of, you know, we don't now always have clearly defined exit criteria for one transition to another. Is it possible to get to go back into the life cycle steps? And, you know, I think we can already look at all of that, and with that, getting into the question of the sub-projects. And once we've done that, I think we could indeed entertain the idea of, you know, tackling the sub-project, but I wouldn't want to put that up front.
I agree, but I think they're kind of related in that if something, the life cycle, I think, of a sub-project is going to be a lot easier to define, right? Because sub-projects can pop in and out of existence under the governance of the maintainers of a project, right? Fabric can create a new SDK that lives for 6 months and they decide they don't want to do it and they can close the repo and it's not a big deal. You know, compared to having something spread out on top. I think they're related.
No, but I don't disagree with that. But I think what I was trying to say is I would think that the sub-project stuff will be easier to deal with once we have tackled the lifecycle project question. And then this is all. I don't think we want to deal with the whole thing at once. This is all I'm saying.
I see what you're saying. I agree.
Yeah, sequencing these discussions makes an awful lot of sense. I do think they're related, but I think we can make progress on the lifecycle one without the project sub-project is going to be a much harder discussion.
So. It seems like it. I agree. That's why I'm hesitant to say let's not mix everything at once, because I think we can make progress on lifecycle outside of the sub-project discussions. And I don't want to derail that, or, you know, fail to grab that low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, and if it's not too distracting, if you can consider scope, especially in the entrance criteria for new projects, maybe make a little headway on the sub-project without opening too much of that can of worms.
Right.
As far as timeline, do you have a sense with whether you'd be able to come back in something like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month? We need some time to reflect on that, but
yeah, it's a bit hard to say up front without having a first discussion with others who are interested in participating and get a sense of where people stand and how big of an issue we have to deal with.
Fair enough.
But I'm happy to, you know, for us to have a first, you know, chat about this and then get a better sense, and then I can tell you more next time.
All right.
On the next opportunity.
Okay, great. So I will leave it to you guys then to pull together people for the right forums and so forth, whether that's email, chat, voice, to move that along.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. All right, Dave, you have something on the agenda here for the DID work.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep this like 2 to 3 minutes because we have a ton of quarterly reports to get to. I know that all of you have heard the decentralized identity people talking about DIDs a lot. If you've even been tangentially involved with Indy, and you know, maybe some of the other projects out in Ethereum like Uport. Solana, myself, Brian, we're all at the Internet Identity Workshop a few weeks ago, and I presented some work that I had been working on for a year or so. Ever since Rye and Tracy and I had discovered that we have a DCO problem in our code bases, I had just started thinking about this in conjunction with what Indy can offer in decentralized identifiers. And I'd been slowly chewing on it for like a year. And then Richard Esplin forced my hand when he proposed an internship project of signing Git commits using DIDs. And so I decided to, I emailed him like a huge essay. If you ask him, it's like 5 pages long, explaining all the intricacies that I had worked out in my own time. And then I went to IIW to present it. And it got a lot of traction. There's a group already of about 8 contributors who are contributing on an active basis. It's currently in my personal repo on GitHub. The W3C DID working group has already accepted the DID method spec in their registry, and we're just trying to finalize that. This has a huge impact on the future of all software development, not just Hyperledger. And I just wanted to keep you guys up to date on it. This will allow, like the DID Git method is a way of normalizing how we would store identity data inside a Git repo, because repos are essentially like a blockchain, so you could use a Git repo as an anchor of trust. But this also has implications for, let's say we have Hyperledger identities anchored on, say, the sovereign network, you know, on Indy. We could use those identities to sign our code too. And with some small tweaks to our governance and acceptance criteria for commits, we could drive our DCO problem out of existence. We could make sure that we have 100% signed commits and acceptance of the DCO and our licensing and our code of conduct and all of that stuff. So if you want to know more about that, come and contact me and I'll plug you into the existing group outside of Hyperledger. I know this is kind of an odd place to talk about it, but I'm thinking that we should probably bring it in as a Hyperledger lab because it's a very narrow thing, but I just want to let everybody know what's going on. This is an example of what we on the Hyperledger staff worry about, right, on a day-to-day basis. And this actually is one of those rare cases where it's translating into code and a standard and hopefully widespread adoption. All right. I think I'm at about 3 minutes. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Thanks, Dave. All right. Task force for is it Convector?
Yeah. So
if I may just interject before. I mean, I just want to point out, Dave, I posted a response to your email with questions you never responded to. So
thanks, Arno. I'm still trying to dig out. I've been gone for like 2 weeks. I was on vacation and then face to face in New York and all that stuff. So I will get to it. I did see it. I apologize for my tardy response.
Thank you. Go ahead, Dan. Sorry.
Okay. Convector is a lab that we accepted a little bit ago. And it's an interesting smart contract development engine. And what we want to do is see what would that take to bring that in as a project if it is worthy of becoming a project, and taking a look at it from the standpoint of, could we get this to be part of Composer, and perhaps a Composer part of Composer, or a Composer replacement, or something along those lines. So that is the point of the task force. If you want to join, get in contact. Thanks.
Okay. So if somebody is looking at getting involved or learning more about Convector, they would go to the labs repositories then and look for a Convector repository?
Yep. And hop on chat, et cetera.
And there's documentation for that on the labs repo. Question. Okay. That was a question. Is there more documentation on it there?
I will have to go and take a look. I don't know that off the top of my head. I'm going to guess the answer is yes, but.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think for new kinds of transaction execution, it'd be great to take a look at that in the context of the Transact project that we had just approved recently. So maybe keep that in mind as you're taking a look at that too. All right, quarterly reports. I saw that Mark did get the PSWG in very recently, but I don't think people have had a chance to read through that yet. So why don't we set that one for next week, and we can have a broader discussion on that one, because I think Mark is looking for some feedback directly to the PSWG in that discussion as well. Can we go ahead then and move straight into the borough update? I think that one has been up for long enough that people should have had an opportunity to get through it. Just to maybe get things going with that, one question that I had as I looked through that, and you may have already responded to me on chat, didn't notice yet this morning, but you mentioned that one of the new features in Burrow is that state is stored in a mutable forest. For those of us who are in fairly unchanging copses of trees at the moment, you want to maybe explain what that is?
Sure, yeah, I picked that up. So the mutable forest is actually the top level object. The change in a more understandable way is we had a type of Merkle tree, which is a version of Merkle tree called IAVL that came out of Tendermint. What the forest idea does is it arranges groups of these trees where each tree has its state root in a top level tree. So it's kind of a hierarchy of trees, because an IAVL tree doesn't have a stable prefix root like a prefix tree would, but actually it's very useful to have that for separate parts of the state. So it's kind of a hybrid prefix or Patricia tree over an AVL tree. The mutable thing is probably a bit of a red herring. So you write into the mutable tree, which is your working set for the block as the block gets applied. And then once that's saved, all of the trees underneath that mutable forest get saved into an immutable forest. And you have access to every immutable forest for every previous version. So yeah, it's kind of an internal thing, but it was a bit of a reasonably big change on the state backend. the upshot is we can query kind of independently and get smaller proofs for various elements of state at any block, with all reads going back to an immutable version of the tree slash forest. And then the mutable bit is just mutable in the sense that it's being bashed as a block is applied. And if we crash, we'll throw away the mutable bit. So we are still immutable too.
Okay. And you'd also mentioned proofs in that. Is that related to the concept of state proofs from Indy?
Not from Indy. So this is Merkle tree proofs. So this is not something that is directly exposed, but is this is just but it is a core feature of the state mechanism for future stuff for light clients and for some cross chain stuff. So we can provide.
So it's more like a Merkle path in
that. Yeah, it's a Merkle path, and there's also some range proofs and some other stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right, other questions on the Burrow update?
I have one higher level question for Silas. So Burrow's kind of been the Ethereum-esque project in Hyperledger. I was just curious, kind of moving forward, does the Burrow team plan to sort of stay in lockstep with like the changes in Ethereum 2 and EWASM and those sort of things, or is it more have a life of its own at this point?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I have followed with some interest some of the Ethereum 2 work. It is quite sort of distributed, that work, and a lot of it has moved quite slowly. Sean, who actually prepared the Burrow update and is on the call now, has been working on some interesting WASM stuff with his Solidity compiler that compiles to WASM. And I think that we're going to end up kind of experimenting with Burrow and a WASM before eWASM is really pinned down. But we will certainly try and make the most of any standards that actually make sense for us coming from Ethereum 2. And then I think the other direction for Burrow is kind of, we run it in production as something that some vague definitions of what a side chain is, but there is a general desire for us to provide side chain features. So this includes things like asset transfer from mainline Ethereum, or the running offloading of smart contracts that could be run on public Ethereum, run for zero or small cost, and this kind of thing. So in terms of a kind of general direction, that's the other thing we'd like to do that involves having that impedance match with public Ethereum. Last time I looked, EWASM like didn't have a clear ABI set out for it, but I could be out of date.
Hi, this is Sean. And the other thing to point out is we updated our testing to Solidity 0.5, and we added some opcodes for Solidity 0.5. So we at the moment we are keeping track of Solidity as is.
Okay, great. Yeah, so really appreciate the
people not
response.
For people not versed in perhaps in public Ethereum, so the sort of Ethereum 2 work, there's various things around execution engine based on a subset of WASM, and also scaling proposals, which is kind of linked to that. But then what public Ethereum has is quite a significant weight of finding a way to make all the existing contracts work. So there are such things as EVMs written in Solidity, which are fairly horrifying, and the idea of sort of compiling them to WASM and then running your old contracts in that. And so there's various things going around, but it's changing the jet engine in flight stuff. So I suspect we will get to some kind of WASM-y thing, at which point we will also see if there's anything we could share or use around Transact, I think. But we'll probably end up there before public Ethereum is settled on that stuff.
I really like the idea of a compiler for Solidity to EWASM, and I mean, that might even be a
a separable kind of chunk that if it was something that would be appealing to other parts of, you know, the Ethereum community, the public Ethereum community, like if we, you know, had some sort of an open door to them. I mean, it just, that's kind of fun, and it might be a way to reach out even beyond the existing Burrow user base. Just a thought. This is Brian. Sorry.
Hi, this is Sean. So I'm working on Solang, and in so I've got some basic contracts working, but I really could use some help. So if anyone's interested in working on that particular piece, I'd be very happy to work with them.
So what we should mention here, we try to plug this as much as we can. Solang is a project that Sean started. It's a Hyperledger Labs project now. And it is an LLVM-backed Solidity to WASM compiler. So yeah, we'd really like to make any connections we can there, Brian, totally.
Yeah, that sounds like a great way that we could start bringing in some of the broader Ethereum community into this work.
So the immediate plans are to put a WASM virtual machine into Burrow, and then we can demonstrate Solidity with the WASM, Solidity to WASM sort of end-to-end. So that's one of the things I'm working on now.
And the initial sandpit for this is we have our kind of extension functions that are hard-coded in Go at the moment. So historically, we've been called them S natives. So the first relatively small piece we'd like to do is have the dynamic extension of those as kind of WASM modules that can be called from the EVM. So we have a calling convention from the EVM to this sort of native Go code that's hard coded. So this what a kind of a nice step anyway, if we can get it to work, is to be able to call dynamically deployed WASM code from Solidity contracts, but using the same extension mechanism.
Okay, great. So I see in your issues that you list tools and documentation. When it comes to tools, is it just these things that we were talking about, or is anything else that you would like to highlight there?
We don't have a web-free interface yet, so that would be some tooling that would be useful for us. As for documentation, on the Hyperledger chat, there's a fair amount of interest, but we're sort of discovering that we have features that people are interested in, but we don't have any documentation. That's one thing that would really help us, because we do have features that people like, but if they don't know how to use them, they're not that much use.
Yeah, and this is a problem that can't, I don't think it can be seeded by the community, but one thing, we're trying to do it, well, in Monad, trying to do this happy hour thing on a Friday, and part of that is I'm going to be forcing myself to do half an hour of documentation. I've got a PR open on Burrow at the moment, but my plan was to try and get kind of coverage, but make it kind of probably not at all in depth enough, and then kind of hoping that some of the interested people on Burrow chat room, which there's been an uptick in like good questions on there, which is kind of promising, but maybe people are going to be interested in picking that up. On the Web3 thing, we have an internship proposal that is obviously quite detailed for someone to start. We also had talks with Fabric Fab3 guys, so they have a well encapsulated Web3 interface. So this is the standard Ethereum JSON RPC interface that is a kind of standalone thing. And they had agreed in principle to spin that out into another project. It hasn't happened, I guess, because we didn't get the intern and push on it. But if there's anyone who wanted to take up that project, I don't think it'd be that hard. Like, Fabric have done a lot of the work, and it could benefit both projects. And we'd have it as a dependency in Burrow. And then we'd be able to use the Ethereum like web plugins, so MetaMask and things like that, ultimately to do things like a local signing in a browser and all that kind of stuff, which we don't have access to now.
Okay. I would like to suggest that if there's anybody on the call from the Learning Materials Development Working Group, that maybe an opportunity to ramp on Burrow and kill two birds with one stone would be to participate on that documentation exercise.
I definitely will look into it. It's Bobby, and I definitely will put that on our list. Thank you.
Great. Okay, well, thanks for the update, Burrow team. Do we have somebody on the call to represent the Cello project?
Yes, Dan. This is Tong.
Hi, Tong. I think I'll go ahead and kick off the first question then again here. Just looking to see real quickly if there was a response on accessibility. I think that question was probably a bit out of the blue. but I think for all of our projects that focus on some sort of user experience or actual direct interface surface, it's good to think about how usable that is in a variety of dimensions, including accessibility. So not to put you on the spot to answer that, but if you have any thoughts about the design of Cello in regard to that, or that maybe as a future priority for your backlog, I'd like to hear about that.
Right, that's right. This tool has a user interface, so the accessibility naturally comes to mind. We actually use this framework. I'm hoping that most of the those kind of issues addressed by the framework, but we haven't really tested just accessibility sort of requirement. And I wasn't really familiar with this thing. And but I actually answered the question at a while back. As I said, we haven't tested this, but certainly will be something we can start the discussion and see what we can do after the 1.0 release.
Yeah, that's a good point. I told maybe we need to find some expert on the accessibility.
Is there a way to pull some of this, Dan, so each project isn't off figuring out accessibility on their own? Maybe some guidelines from Hyperledger or Linux Foundation or something on what we'd like to see, so we have consistent accessibility across all projects.
Yeah, I think that if we have contributors that are experienced in user interface design, this would be a great way to sort of broaden that impact if you want to put together some best practices for accessibility, maybe useful toolkits. I think there's bound to be some diversity in implementation based on different languages and SDKs that are being produced. But wherever there's an opportunity for use and communicating best practices, I think we'd all appreciate that.
I mean, cross-board, how other projects actually address this issue? I mean, how many projects actually should have this issue? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I think Explorer comes to mind as another project that has a strong user interface focus. But really any of the projects that are presenting a surface, especially things that have a web interface, I would hope to see some accessibility design from each of those, and I plan to be asking about those in upcoming project reports.
Yeah, understand.
Right, other topics for Cello?
I think the mostly just a couple of things. One is the activities in the past quarter, then the plans we have for the future. We have added the, just Fabric 1.4.1 release. You can use a Raft. So we added the Raft support. If you use the Cello Ansible agent, you will be able to set up your Fabric network. not only by using Kafka, you can also choose to use Raft. We also added the capability that you can use Cello to set up, just let's say, I only care about the peers in my organization. You can just set up peers or say, hey, I don't care about any peers and I'm hosting ordering system. You can do that or you can do both. So that has been what the Cello always support. And now you can just choose to just do peers or orders. We also added the capability that allow you to expose the fabric metrics. Those ports, you can choose, just switch a flag. You'll be able to say, hey, I want to enable this, or I don't want, enable this. With the some of the work from the Fabric Interop Working Group, now we have formally defined the process how an existing organization can join, how a new organization can join existing Fabric network. So we have that process defined. Now, if you use Cello to set up your peer or set up an ordering system, Cello will be able to generate those artifacts that you can send to existing Fabric network admins for joining your new organization, or you say, hey, I only have an ordering system. Now your organization already approved to have peers join. Here's the earn the points certificates that you can use to join your peers. So those artifacts that are necessary expanding your Fabric network will be created while you actually set up those things. So we have also started working on the improved the user dashboard. We're trying to make sure that it's a lot easier to use, more dynamic. You can add your peers, let's say more from Kubernetes cluster, your peers running in there. You'll be able to do that. And we actually did quite a bit of work, improved the document and fixed some bugs. You can see the current plan doesn't change much from the last quarter update. We still have only 4 maintainers in this project. That's pretty much everything.
All right, thanks, Tong. Any last questions for Cello? All right, well, thanks for updating us, Cello team. Explorer, do we have a representative from your project?
Hello, my name is Nick. I am supporting Hyperledger Explorer. So this is my first time to report, so apologies if I'm kind of like haven't been in such auditorium, and apologies. So the project health is green. We released version 3.9.1. We're working on graduating the project from incubation. We have a lot of work to do. Despite we have 2.5 resources, people are wishing to join, but what's happening when they get their hands on real coding, then they excuse themselves with different issues that they are busy on their task and so on. So we are still going into removing the graduating from the incubation. We did redesign Explorer to use the discovery service and the new gateway, a part of Fabric network, using the wallet identity. And we are working on updating the test cases, we introduced the automated test cases. working on bug fixes and new features of 1.4 Fabric, and I'm planning to also give a test of latest 1.4.1 Fabric release. I think that's all. Again, we are very low on contributors, and it is very hard to recruit people. So, as I mentioned before, that is all my update.
All right. Well, thank you for the update, Nick, and also thank you for, I see you added the JIRA task for accessibility design. Do we have any other questions for the Explorer project? I guess I'll just chime in one other point that's already in the comment thread for the update, which is that the charter, I think, for Explorer sought to encompass the Hyperledger projects. And so please continue to think about how you either recruit, support, or develop features to support that breadth of projects.
Yes, sure. Myself, I even was actively trying to recruit through the LinkedIn, sending to my connections, actively masking people in the chat. But again, some are wishing and are willing, but I don't see no much contribution. So people are busy on their project and they have their own tasks. So
certainly. All right. Thank you, Nick. Well, all right.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan. Hey, Dan. This is Dave Huseby. I've got a quick question for the Explorer project. I became aware of a security vulnerability in one of the dependencies of the Explorer project, and I filed a security bug yesterday or 2 days ago. And I wanted to ask Nick, who on the Explorer project is willing to, or should I talk to about fixing security bugs? Because
yeah,
they don't have wide visibility, and I need a volunteer to add to that list.
I'm working on that now. I saw that we had a merge into the master, and I saw that in other branch too. I'm working on that now. I hope
well,
to be
what is
a day or two.
What is your LFID?
NFRUNZA.
Oh, okay. Yep. So that's you that I'm talking. Okay.
Yes. Correct. Yes. I'm working. I know that. I'm aware of any security vulnerability. I keep track. I'm watching, I would say, 14 hours a day. So,
wow. Well, I'm not imposing a deadline. I just wanted to make sure that I was talking to the right people.
Yes.
Dave, I think how we have things organized, we have one or more maintainers from each project on the security mailing list.
Yeah, Dan, I've had on a to-do list for a couple of weeks, months or so, that list and refresh it. So I think this is a good impetus to raise that in my priority list. So if you have volunteered for the security team in the past, you'll probably get an email from me here soon on the mailing list. And I'm just going to ping everybody and see if you still want to be on the list. And then I'll figure out which projects are missing and we'll add some new people.
All right. And then proactively, if you're listening to this and you are a project maintainer and you don't know who your project security representative is, you should probably figure that out and make sure they're connected with Dave.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good idea. Thanks, Dan.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. See if I can make Rise screen work here. Oh, maybe Rise back. Great. All right, Technical Working Group China. Who do we have on from the working group today?
Hi, Dan. I will do the report.
All right, Bawa, thank you.
Okay, so overall, the working group is just working as planned. We continued regular biweekly meeting And in order to make more people suitable to attend the meeting, we have a voting and change the time of the meeting from the morning to the evening every Wednesday, China time. And averagely, there will be more than 10 or even more than 20 participants for the meeting. So in this quarter, we are glad to see that the contributors, they show interest not only to project Fabric and Sawtooth, but also to projects like Indy and Ursa. And hopefully, we would expect more interest to also to other projects. And for the documentation work, we nearly finished the translation of the Fabric 1.4 documentation and also started the 2.0 documentation. And we have tried the several platforms, and finally, we now move to the Transifex. And the contributors think it's quite efficient to do the translation with the Transifex. And for the meetups, we have 8 meetups in this quarter. And the cities include Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Changsha, and Hangzhou. You can see it's diverse in geography. And also, we have one more core volunteers, Cheng Yang. He's nominated and accepted. He's from Meitu, one China company. And overall, I think the grouping is going on well. And before I jump to the issues, to the global, to the TSC, is there any questions? Okay, then I will continue with the issues I want to propose to the TSC. There are two major issues. The first one is we have evaluating the Transifex platform for the documentation translation, and we feel it's very efficient. However, we do not find there's any replacement within the community tools. You know, the Transifex itself is it's commercial, and currently we try to think out how to integrate our translated results with the other community tools like the Garrett or GitHub repos. So we will look for some suggestion from the TSC. Any suggestion on this topic?
Maybe you could just say that question one more time in case people misunderstood.
Oh, yeah. Currently, we have finished the translation of the Fabric 1.4 documentation, and it's using a platform called Transifex. And we want to see how we can leverage the translated results better with the community tools.
And so normally, where do the work products of that effort go? Are they're being committed into a Hyperledger Labs repository through GitHub? And so you're wondering, like, are there artifacts generated by Transifex that are not going into source control? And you're wondering about that?
Yeah, the lab is a good direction. And one more thing I can imagine might be the learning and education working group. I'm not sure whether, yeah, if you're interested with the translated results.
Is the question really around how do you bring the translated output into Read the Doc so that somebody could choose Chinese or Mandarin as their selected format when they're actually looking at the official documentation?
Yeah, I think if we can integrate the transfex into read the doc directly, that will be helpful as a first step.
And since it's not free, you have to pay for it. Is that what the problem is?
Now we do not pay for the transfex. But we think it might not be a perfect place to hold all the translated documentations because it's out of the control from the hyperledger community.
So what do you commit to the labs repo then?
So then you suggest that we host all the results into the Hyperledger lab, right?
I'm not suggesting something new. I was under the impression that the translations that you're producing for Fabric are going into one of the lab repositories. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm not clear what is going into the lab, what is not going into the lab repository already.
Yeah, but the lab repository is only some place to host the results. Why is not a good tool for doing the collaboration on the translation? So now we're using the transfex.
I think I'm hearing two issues here. One is where can you work on the translation itself? And two is where can you publish it? And I think the last time we looked at TransFX, they do have open source licensing. Mm-hmm. I might be thinking of a different tool. And I think the other issue is how do we get the results of the lab folded into the Fabric docs project itself? Am I understanding you correctly there?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, it sounds like maybe the second question might be the easiest because it seems like that's a Fabric project question that hopefully the Fabric maintainers can drive resolution with. Do you feel like you have an effective communication path with the Fabric maintainers?
Okay, I think we can continue to discuss this with the Fabric maintainer teams. Okay, thanks for the suggestions. And the other issue is actually it's initially proposed by Weiping. He suggests that we can attract more people to attend other working groups meetings. And I think we can extend this question or suggestion to like how we can improve the communications between the TWC and the other projects and also working groups. One thing we have done is we promoted the information of the meetings in our regular meeting. And also I think it might be a good idea if there can be some volunteers from other projects and working groups. They can help attend the TWC meeting and make some simple introduction there. At the end of the last year, we are glad we have some volunteer from the Sawtooth project, and he briefly introduced Sawtooth project, and it did help people to get involved into the project, and that I think it might be a very good way. So, yeah, it might be not a question, but I still welcome for any suggestions or advice.
And I think what we found was a native Chinese speaker who was a Sawtooth contributor to speak in that event.
Yeah,
is it required that somebody from one of the other projects Is it required that they speak Chinese in order to participate in that meeting? Oh,
not really. I think English should be okay, but the time might be a problem. Current time is 8 p.m. The Beijing time. It should be very early for the Eastern time. So.
Okay, well, still fair enough. I think it's a fair request that for each of the projects that wants to get better integrated with the China Working Group, provide a presenter, I'm sure, who can work out the logistics of getting up early on one occasion.
Yeah, we are thankful for any volunteer.
By the way, this is Vipin. We are going to hold on May 29th, actually May 30th, 1 a.m. UTC, which would be a good time in China, the Identity Working Group meeting. So, I mean, if needed, I can show up on the TW China Working Group call and talk about the Identity Working Group.
Yeah, sure, Weiping, you are always welcome.
Just brush up your Chinese before, Weiping.
Yeah, I know. It's on my list.
All right, xie xie. Any other
thanks.
All right, so I think we're running just about out of time. So any last question for Bawa? All right, well, thank everybody for your participation in today's call.
Oh, I just one last comment for the documentation translation. Basically, I think there's an issue like who's going to commit those generated artifacts to the Git repo. Because that, I suppose, should be signed off. I mean, ideally, that could be a CI/CD job to like periodically pull translated artifact from TransFX into GitHub and signed by some bot. I think this might be a problem and might be a broader in scope if other projects are translated as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think that our requirements would be that they have a human doing the sign off, and not just doing the sign off. It's whoever has made that contribution. When they make that contribution, it has to include the effectively the developer certificate of origin.
Yeah, I mean, currently we credit contributors of translation using statistics from TransFX, obviously. But I mean, ideally, we could use that some data from GitHub, but I don't think that's very possible with the tool. So I still think we shouldn't have a like human being committing all those artifacts to GitHub and with his name as the author.
No, I don't think that would be appropriate. Unfortunately, we are out of time for this discussion, but please feel free to continue this line of questions and comments either on chat or in the mailing list.
Yeah, sure. Just raise the awareness.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. All right. Thank you, everyone.